instructions on how to do it. Now, I want to take just a few moments, and if you get this tonight, you'll probably get something that'll be worthwhile. You may already know that, and that's good, but if you'll just get this one teaching tonight, it'll help you. And I mean, it'll help you, and it'll build you, and it'll give you an awesome responsibility if you'll just get this one teaching. If you'll go over to the book of Psalms, I'm going to turn you there in the 127th Psalm. I want you to look at it. I want you to read it. Now, we've read this in some of our studies on the family. We've been preaching, I suppose, maybe 7, 8, 9 weeks on the family. And it's important that we look at this 127th Psalm, okay? And I'm just going to read one verse tonight for the sake of time. But what he says in verse number 3, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." We've studied, and when we was there before, and talked about how that children are literally a reward of God, that God gives us. And we know, according to the Scriptures, when He says that children are a heritage of the Lord, the word heritage speaks of His possession. It is God's possession. Now, I'm going to take you to some Scripture to show you, and we'll back this up and show you that absolutely, according to the Word of God, that children are God's possession. Now, if we will understand that, if we'll get a hold of that, that God has lent those children to us for us to raise for Him. Amen? You remember when Moses' mother hid her little boy, Moses, in the bulrushes and made that little ark and hid him there? And then, of course, the sister run and got his own mother and came into Pharaoh's daughter and said, "Would you like me to get an Israelite lady to nurse this child and raise it for you?" And said, "Sure." And she gave that baby to Moses' mother, and she said, "Here, raise it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And there's a wonderful truth there, because God is saying to us, raise up your children for me, and I'll certainly reward you for it. I'll give you the wages. And God is saying that to us because why? Children are God's heritage. If we'll get that in our mind, they're His possession. God's possession. He is allowing us to raise them and to love them and reap the benefits of having them in our home, but they're God's possession. Amen? Will you get a hold of that? I'm going to take you some Scripture over the book of Ezekiel, please. Book of Ezekiel, the 16th chapter. And I want you to just let me read to you a couple of verses of Scripture in the 16th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 16. I'll give you a moment to get there, because I want you to listen to these precious verses of Scripture. God was talking to Israel once again of all the things that He had done for them, and how that they had treated Him, and how that they had turned from Him. And then He says something in verse number 20 and verse number 21 of Ezekiel 16. Now listen. "Moreover, thou hast taken thy sons and thy daughters." Now He says they're your sons and your daughters, but He's going to clarify this. "Whom thou hast born unto me." Now did you hear that? And He says, And these hast thou sacrificed unto them to be devoured. Is this of thy whoredoms a small matter?" Now listen to verse 21. "That thou hast slain my children and delivered them to cause them to pass through the fire for them?" Did you notice in Ezekiel, He says, "You have taken my children and slain them." And God is letting it be known to all of us that children are His. And what we do with those children is serious business. Amen? And God expects us to take those sweet, precious children that He has given us to raise, and to raise them for Him. Amen? That's why you have your children in the house of God. That's why you have them in Sunday school. That's why you take them home and teach them the blessed book, the Word of God, and train them and raise them up in the admonition and the nurture of the Lord. Why? Because they're God's. And we better raise them right, because God's going to hold us accountable for the raising of our children. Awesome, isn't it? Amen. If we get a hold of that truth, listen, folks, you know what? I didn't even used to know that truth. I thought they was mine. I did. I just thought they was mine. They're my children. I always talked about my children, you know. Well, they are mine because God has given them unto me and lent them unto me for me to raise for Him. Amen. So it's very, very serious. You understand? They're God's possession. They're God's estate. That's what it speaks about when it talks about the heritage of the Lord. So they belong to the Lord. And what He tells us to do is to bring them up in the admonition and the nurture of the Lord. Okay? That's a command of God. He tells us to do that. Now, I want you to think about something as we begin to talk about fathers, provoke not your children to anger. I want you to understand something. Little children, folks, has to follow your leadership and your teachings. They can't help it. Now you say, well, mine don't mind very well, but what I'm saying to you is they are under your teaching. And you've got to remember something. They are little things that cannot rebel up against you and make you do different. You are given a responsibility to teach them the correct things. And it's an awesome thing to think about. Look, them are your sweet children, and you're telling them what they got to do and what they should not do and all these other things. You've got to be careful how you raise them, don't we? Amen? Because they're God's heritage, you see. Their future, listen, think about it. Their future life is in our hands. We shape much of their entire lives because we have them when they're young. We're going to determine what they're going to be because, you know, in 7 years, they say most of the things in a child's life, a person's life, is already formed. Character and many of the things like that will be built on top of that, but many of the personalities and things are formed already at 7 years of age. And if we haven't done that correctly and rightly, it's an awesome responsibility. Folks, those children are in our hands. Now, that doesn't mean that you quit after 7 years of age. I'm not saying that. I'm simply saying that by 7 years of age, much is already formed in that child. Amen? And so it's such an awesome thing to realize they look up to us for guidance. They don't know anything else. They don't. That's the way God's made it. And our responsibility is to guide them correctly and raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, there's four basic things that I want to teach tonight about that things that will provoke your children to anger. I'm sure I don't have them all. I'm simply trying to give you four basic principles that will help us to understand some things practically that will kind of stir our hearts. The first one is if we be unfair or unjust in our dealings with them. It is right and proper that we be fair and just in our dealings with our children. Scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5:15 says, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man. But ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men." Now, I want you to know something. Children is included in that because it says all men. That means every human being. And they're included in that. We are not to render evil for evil. We are to do them good and help them and bless them and do right with them. And we're to treat them fairly and not unjustly. Now, I'm saying to you folks, listen, I'm not talking about being foolish and silly. I'm talking about scripturally treat them right and be fair with them on a scriptural basis. You say, well, Brother Ross, maybe to be fair, I just let them kind of choose what they want to do and what they don't. Oh, no, that's not treating them fair because that's not what the Bible says. Bible gives the parents the encouragement and the command to train them up and do right by them and show them the right way and establish ways in their life. But when you deal with them, you deal with them fairly and justly. You treat them with kindness, and you treat them as human beings, not as something that you just want to lord over. We've got to build them and train them that the things that we tell them to do are godly things, rightly things, and explain to them this is how God would have us to do this or that, and that's why we're going to do this or that. You see, children are people too. They need to be shown honesty, respect, fairness, compassion, understanding, and they need to be told the truth. Amen? And I'd say you got to explain everything that you're going to do to your children. But when you do deal with them, treat them kindly and with respect. They're, remember, they're God's possession. They're His heritage. Amen? All right. Now, you know, sometimes, if we don't be careful, sometimes we'll have two sets of standards. One for everybody else and one for our kids. You've got to be awful careful about that. That was something God pricked my heart about as a pastor. And I had a hard time with that. I thought my kids as pastor ought to be perfect. And they suffered the consequences of that. Now, I'm not saying they ought not to bend what they ought to be. But I want to tell you something. Children are children no matter who they belong to. And what I am saying is this. It is right for them to do right. It is absolutely right for them to do right. But it's also absolutely right for yours to do right. I mean, amen. You see, and what I'm saying is there's not two sets of standards. There's godliness. And what we ought to do is raise our children in godliness because it's right to raise them in godliness. Amen? We ought to do that. So sometimes we have to be careful. Sometimes we convict our children without even any evidence to do so. They're guilty because you know why? I know that little rascal. He's done that. He's done it for sure. There's no doubt about it. Amen? I mean, you know, he's convicted before he ever had a trial. But let me tell you, on the other hand, something else. Sometimes they're never convicted because they don't believe that they ever would do anything wrong. I remember in the Christian school one day, there was a thing that happened, and someone had written on the wall of the bathroom. Terrible thing. I mean, it was a bad word. We was in our school. And I was trying to track down what was going on, who done it. And we pretty well had it down to two young men in our school. So I talked to both of the parents. I told them I'm not sure at this point which one done it, but I'm quite sure that one of them did. I've served as the FBI during that and done some investigation. But anyway, I had it pretty well down and was quite sure that one of them had done it, but I wasn't sure which. Well, the one father told me this. Well, it wasn't my boy. He would not do something like that. And you know, have you ever been there? It's not ours. No, we wouldn't do anything like that, would we? Ours wouldn't do anything like that. Well, make a long story short, it was his boy. And his boy did admit to it, and his daddy liked to have a conniption. Oh, I just can't believe that. He said, Pastor Ross, I can't believe he'd do something like that, you know. Well, he's got that old sin nature in him, you know. Amen? And what I'm saying is, so sometimes we convict them without any evidence, and sometimes we set them free just simply because we don't think ours would ever do anything like that. Amen? So what I'm simply saying is, I want you to treat them fair and honest and with respect and compassion, but treat them right. Understand they have a sin nature. Amen? The problem is not when a child does something wrong. That is not the problem. You said, oh, Brother Ross. No, the problem is when we fail to do something about it. Amen? That's the problem. Pastor's children and deacon's children are going to do things wrong. The problem is not that they did do something wrong. The problem is if we don't deal with it and straighten it out, because we are to have our children in subjection and we are to do something about it. Amen? All right. Now, secondly, we provoke by erratic, unpredictable commands and restrictions. You know, too many of us just simply don't have a set of standards or a set of policies that we live by. That's important, folks, that your children know where the fences are. that they simply know this is in our family. Whether other families do it or not, this is the way we are going to live. And we are going to have a set of standards. I hope my son, I tell on my sons, and I get them, I know I embarrass them sometimes. Some of you folk like me to tell on them, but I won't tell anything. David, I'm going to tell on Bobby this time. Is that all right? Amen. Bobby's saying, but anyway, I remember when Bobby was almost, I think he was 21, maybe close to 22, and he was still living in the parsonage up here at our house, and he came in one day and he said, Dad, he said, you know, he said, I'm certain age. I can't remember whether it was 21. It seemed like it might have been 21, and he said, and of course he wasn't married yet, and he said, you know, I feel like that I should not have to obey that time of 11 o'clock of the night. They always had to be in by 11 o'clock, okay, and that was on the weekends, and they had to be in by 11 o'clock. He said, I don't really feel like I should have to do that. And I said to him, I said, son, where do you live? He said, well, I live here. And I said, who's the head of this home? And he said, well, you are. I said, you'll be in at 11 o'clock. I don't remember that or not, Bob, but he does probably. And but you know, let me say also, he took it well. And yes, he did. He took it well. And he said, well, all right. He said, I just don't know if that's right. But he took it and he did it. Okay? I remember when some of these boys was, I mean, at that age, one night I was standing there like this at the door when one of them walked in at 5 after 11. And they, oh, that was David. Okay. I can't remember which one it was, to tell you the truth. Probably Jerry, wasn't it? But anyway, it was 5 after 11. I was standing there just like this, tapping my foot, you know. And I said, we got held up a train. Got held up a train, you know. Yeah. But I give him the benefit of the doubt. But it, yeah, no, right. Amen. If he said he got help with train, he got help with train, folks. But anyway, we ought to have some set of a standard, a policy in your home that you go by. Okay, not just some wishy-washy thing that you make up every other day, decide on a new standard, a new policy. They need to know when you say no that it means no, and that's the way we live in this house. They need to have those things established in the home. Now, there's some things you had to deal with as you go along. I know that. But they ought to have the basic fences set. Amen? They ought to know where mom and dad stands. One of the things that we said in our house, and I trust you'll make this determination. Maybe you already have, and probably you have, but we made a thing in our house after we got saved, and that was right after I got saved. We would never ask the question, are we going to church? That was never allowed to be asked in our home. We was going to church on Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday morning church, Sunday night church, and Wednesday night church. We was going on revival nights. It was never asked in our house, are we going to church? That was not allowed. Because why? You got to have a policy. You got to have a standard. You don't give them the choice of church attendance. Amen. You don't give them the choice of that, and you really oughtn't to give yourself that choice, because you see, that's too tempting to say, well, maybe we'll just all stay home tonight. Amen? You know, I've known little children to get sick, one little boy get a cold, and took all the whole family to stay home and blow his nose. I mean, it's terrific. It takes the whole family just to stay home and cuddle that little thing and blow, get his nose blowed. Huh? You know? No, I don't believe that. No, not for one minute, you see. But anyway, what I'm simply saying is you ought to have a set of standards, you see, and where you're going to stand. And that'll help your children. They'll know then where they stand in the home. You know, so let me just give you a thought. God is not the author of confusion. And without some standards and policy in the home, it's confusion. No one knows where the fences are. Amen? So do that for your children. All right, we can also provoke them by showing favoritism. I know I touched on this just a little bit, and I won't spend a lot of time, but to give you an illustration from the Word of God, the Bible says God is no respecter of persons. And I believe if God is no respecter of persons, I believe we ought not to be either. We've got to be very careful about showing favoritism to a certain child. Folks, as I think I told you before, they're all your children. And God gave them to you, and they've all got different personalities and all kinds of things like that. These, every one of the individually will vary. They're different. We know all of that thing. But listen, folks, they're God's children, and they gave them to you, and they're all important to the Lord. And He loves them all, okay? And let me say to you, they never, ever ought to doubt. Do your best, at least, to keep them from ever doubting that they're loved of you. They're important and they're loved of you. You ought to know that. They ought to know that. You understand? Every single one of them, I don't care which ones they are, I don't care if they're the one that gives you the most trouble, they're still loved of their parents. Amen? And they need to know that. Another thing is this. We have a tendency, and I see this especially, and again, when I say these things, I'm not looking around trying to find things, but I see it as a thing that is a tendency in the day that we live. Sometimes we think because we do things for one of our children, we must immediately do it for the other one. I want to tell you, when I was a little boy, I wanted a bicycle so bad. I mean, ever since I could remember that I was old enough, I wanted a bicycle. I remember that. But I want to tell you something. I waited my turn. There wasn't enough stuff to go around to get it all, and I waited my turn. What I'm saying is, older children are come to plateaus where they can do more and certainly have more responsibilities, and because of that, you don't just have to give it to the little ones the same time you give it to the older ones. Amen? Because they're going to ask for it, I'll guarantee you. They want it all now. Amen. I mean, that's just the tendency of us old human beings. But you don't have to do that. You see, you don't have to do it for one just because you've done it for the other. You say, well, because I go to town and I buy Susie a new, brand new dress. Maybe she needed a dress. You bought her one. But the little Debbie didn't need one. Do you buy little Debbie one just because Susie got one? You don't have to do those things, but that's the mentality that this world has taught us. Because they want you buying something for everybody. I'm just simply saying that it's good for children to learn to wait and look forward to some excitement as they move forward to in their life to gain some of those things and look forward to it. They don't need all of those things all at once. Again, I think I did discuss this, but don't love them for their looks and their talents and their abilities or their personalities. Love them because they're yours, and God gave them to you. Now, if they have some extra abilities, let's be thankful for them. But don't love them because they have these extra abilities. God made them the way they are, and they're special, each and every one of them. And they should not be loved more because they have extra talents and extra abilities. They ought to be loved because they're given to us of God. And they're a heritage of the Lord. They're His possession, His estate. We ought to love them. We've got to be careful. And again, I think I said this, but I want to say it again. You don't want to say, oh, that is a nice little boy or girl. You know, that's my little girl, she's so nice, or my little boy, so nice. I wish all of my kids was like that. Oh, please don't do that. Please don't do that. Listen, when you favor one, what you do is you add to that one's pride and arrogance. You begin to build a pride, a false pride in that individual when you constantly brag on that individual. And then what you're doing to the other ones is you're stirring up resentment. I'll never be the same as my brother or my sister. I'll never be as good as my brother or my sister. Why? Because they've heard that all their life. How good so-and-so was. And look how what talent he has and all of it. Folks, don't do that to that child. Please don't do that. They're all important. Nothing wrong with saying we're thankful that God has given you a certain talent or ability. We're grateful for that. And that you have built that ability, we're grateful for. But we're also thankful for every single one of our children. Amen? No matter what talent or ability they may have. Another thing that we can provoke them with is we'll provoke them when we pick at them and taunt them when they're already mad. I want to say something to you. How do you like it when you know somebody knows you're upset and they just keep a gigging? Remember something, you're an adult and you don't like it. And you're an adult and you can respond to it. You can get mad back. I mean, maybe you shouldn't, but you can. But a child can. He knows if he responds to it, he's going to get it. Amen? You know, but listen, if your child is aggravated and he's had a hard time, don't taunt at him and dig at him. Don't do that. Just let him go and calm down for a while. Amen. Be careful how you treat your children. Treat them with kindness and grace, and don't command them to do things that are unreasonable for them to do at the age they are. We talked about this, but folks, remember the age of your children. What are they capable of doing, and doing it rightly and correctly? What are they able to do? You need to learn to know the state of your flock. You need to know your children. You know what they're capable of, the abilities they have, and you ought to treat them accordingly. Now, here's some things real quickly, and we'll close, but some things that will discourage children. What will happen is they'll get discouraged when they feel like they cannot talk to you. In other words, it doesn't do any good to talk to them. They're not going to listen anyway. They're not going to hear me out. So why talk? You need, and again, I've learned a lot of these things as I've got older. You need to learn to stop and shut your mouth and turn your ear and listen. Hear what they're saying. Sometime it may be a bunch of baloney. But sometime kids need to tell you a little bit of baloney. And sometimes they just need to be heard. And if you won't listen to them, they'll figure it isn't going to do any good, so they'll just quit talking. That's where communications break down. Amen? So stop and listen to them. Doesn't mean you're to do what they say. Stop and listen. Hear what they're saying. Another thing is, don't chasten or correct your child in anger. Do it because it's right to do it. A soft answer turneth away wrath. Remember something. Don't correct them in anger. Correct them because you want them to be better. Amen? Don't just take it out on them. Correct it because you want them to live right and do right, and it is right in the eyes of God to do right. You see, if we give them only criticism, and all of us has to be careful with this, if we give them only criticism, we've got to balance criticism with not bragging, but with saying kind things and saying proper things, not just criticism. We've got to not constantly. You know what? That's a thing we've got to be careful of, because you know what we'll do? They'll do some good things and we'll never say anything about it. But the first time they make a mistake, we're right on top of them. Amen? And we've got to be careful about that, because criticism alone will help discourage the child's spirit. Amen? Be careful about that, because it's an easy thing to get into. Amen? Do you know, honestly, now listen to me, and I'll give you an illustration. When this pastor's up here preaching, when do you usually laugh at me? When I make a mistake. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's our nature. Okay, but you know, we do that, and yet we will never say a word a lot of times for all the 100 times when you don't make a mistake. Now, like I'm saying, there's nothing wrong. Next time something happens, don't be afraid to laugh in the proper way. But what I'm simply saying is, if we don't be careful, we do our children that way. We look and they do 100 good things and we never say a word. They do one thing wrong and boy, we're down their throat. Amen? Wow. So I believe we've got to be very careful how we do that. Did you know, and I'll leave you with this, did you know that just about all children and all adults have serious doubts about themselves? Do you know there's a truth that I know about you today, and you probably know about me, that every one of us sitting in this room has some serious doubts about their abilities and about themselves? And if we confirm that with words that confirm the fact that we think they are and do have a lot of problems, it's going to be awful hard to get rid of. In other words, just be awful careful. Don't say, hey, you dummy. You know, we say things some like, and you know, and honestly, we don't probably mean that, but we say mean things some like that, but in that heart of that young child, that goes through that young child, and that child says, I'm a dummy. I'm a dummy. You hear what I'm saying? You be very, very careful. The words you use, the things you say. And again, I brought this up, but don't so much talk about the individual. Talk about the deed that they did. The deed is bad, not them. Amen? If they threw a ball through a window, you want to say, boy, you are a bad boy. You're just terrible. That's horrible. No, that thing that you did, throwing that ball through that window, is a bad thing to have done. It's not that you that is bad, but the deed that is bad. You can do better than that. Amen? Because you know what? They may have been good all day long up until they threw that ball through that window. They've done a lot of good deeds. But that one thing got them in trouble. Amen? So as fathers, I say to you this, provoke not your children, as Ephesians says, to wrath, or as Colossians says, to anger. Provoke them not to anger. Remember, they're little people trying to grow up. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you again today for your grace and your mercy and your love and your kindness to us. And I thank you for the Word of God, and I pray that you'll take this and help us all, oh God, to be better than we have been for thee. And oh Father, take the truths from thy word. Use them in parents' lives. Help parents, Father. They need the strength and grace of God to raise their children. And we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.